Verses 20 through 23. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. Know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. Here ends the reading for this day. Thanks be to God. We are blessed and honored to have our message today brought by Mike DeArmond.
Will this work? Good morning. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Amen. These words that begin our worship service each Sunday morning are sacred and full of promise. To me, these words embody Jesus' message of inclusion and unconditional love for all. In September of 2004, this good news that was exemplified in the extravagant welcome and radical hospitality that was extended to a gay, defeated alcoholic, junkie, and thief who attended his first service at Church of the Open Arms proved to be not only transformative, but also life-saving. I never imagined on that first morning when I walked through the sanctuary doors that I was beginning a journey that would bring me face to face with the living Christ and lead me into a life that is beyond my wildest imagination. But it did, and I will forever be grateful. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike DeArmond, and I've attended Church of the Open Arms regularly and faithfully for the last 12 years. Today I'm going to share with you what this church means to me and how Church of the Open Arms has impacted my life. Some of you are familiar with my journey. For those of you who are new to Church of the Open Arms, if you are struggling and on a rough and difficult stretch of your journey, I pray that you find hope and strength. I know in my heart that I am not unique, that the grace and mercy that I have received is available to you. Hang in there and don't you dare give up before the miracle happens. On that fateful day when I attended my first service, I was truly at a miserable place in my life. I had reached what the recovery community calls my bottom. I was 60 days sober. The track marks from drug use were still visible on my arms, and there was a warrant out for my arrest. I was totally unemployable, even though I had an accounting degree. My family had abandoned me, and I was living with people that I really did not know. I was scared, hopeless, and alone. I really could not imagine how my life could get better. I was raised in the Pentecostal fundamentalist tradition, and from the indoctrination that I had received, I knew that I was headed straight to hell. At 42 years old, I had spent a great portion of my life trying to pray away the gay and be the man that was required so that I could be loved and accepted by God and community. It didn't work for me, and all it did was drive me deeper into the hole of alcoholism and self-hatred. On that first morning, one of the songs that was sung was De Caloris. I remember hearing the line that talked about God's rainbow of colors for all. I interpreted that line as an indirect welcome for people like me, friends of Dorothy and all. I will never forget the sense of embrace that I felt from that line. During that service, there was an announcement about a Sunday school class on the spirituality of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was intrigued that a church would even talk about Alcoholics Anonymous, much less explore a path to recovery other than pray that you are delivered from your sin. I attended that class over the next few weeks, as well as service every Sunday. I was greeted and embraced by not only the pastor, but many in this congregation. For the first time in a long time, there were people who seemed genuinely happy to see me. I didn't share much about me because I was embarrassed and convinced that if you really knew me, you would not welcome me. In March of 2005, during a traffic stop, the warrant that was outstanding caught up with me, and I went to jail. I spent 3 days in the county jail until some friends in the recovery community were able to bail me out. Some years later, I shared this experience and that no one knew where I was or what was going on. There were two ladies attending church at that time who worked for the Department of Corrections, and they were aware that I was in jail, and they told me they had me on their radar to make sure that I was okay. Instead of the expected backlash that I thought I would receive from my church, it found out there was instead care and concern. Wow. For those of you who are not familiar with my story, I had embezzled from a former employer to pay for my drug habit. Since then, I have dealt with this wreckage from my past and paid full restitution, and this charge has been expunged from my record. Thanks be to God. Over the course of that first year of sobriety, Church of the Open Arms became home for me. It was the one place that I felt welcome in spite of all my flaws and baggage. I had no contact with my family, nor did they want any with me. You all became that family for me. Several of you mothered and fathered me. I developed relationships with those that I considered my brothers and sisters. I was amazed in December of 2005 when I was asked to be the vice president for the congregation. I agreed, and over the next 3 years, I moved through the presidency rotation. At the same time, my personal life was evolving too. By the grace of God, in October of 2005, I was able to get a job in my chosen profession. I'm still employed there 11 years later. In the fall of 2006, after some discussion about our worship service, I was asked to leave the congregational singing during service. For me, this was truly a spiritual step. I have always believed from the time I was a teenager that I was called to be a worship leader. This calling was one of the most frustrating parts of my life. My sexuality prevented me from authentically living out this calling in the tradition that I grew up in. And all of a sudden, even with all my faults and issues and everyone knowing exactly who I am, I was asked to step into my calling. For me, this was a miracle. I can honestly say that on Sunday mornings, when I stand up here in front of you, that it is a time of perfect peace for me. I know I am right where I am supposed to be, and I want to thank you all for allowing me to do that. I encourage each of you to find that place of ministry where God is calling you to and live into it. In 2009, my presidency rotation was complete. I was asked to chair a formal capital campaign. I agreed to do so, and my motive for doing this was truly that I wanted to give back. I had received so much from each of you in the church as a whole that I wanted somehow to repay you. This experience was again life-changing for me. During the course of the capital campaign, I learned a lot about my relationship with money and giving. I became accountable with my giving, and in doing so, was able to move to a place where by the end of the campaign, I was giving 10% of my income to the church. Today, some 6 years later, I'm able to give even more than that. I am a salaried employee, and I get paid weekly. As I was considering my pledge for the current stewardship campaign, I realize that I am giving one paycheck a month to the church. I tell you this not to brag or boast, but to show you what is possible when you faithfully participate in the spiritual practice of giving. I have everything that I need and want and do all the things that I desire. And all of the financial wreckage of my past is taken care of. I don't for a minute think that God is calling you to give at the same level that I am. However, I do believe that we are called to financially support this church. As hard as I try to repay you and God for all that I have received, it just seems that I cannot achieve that. So many of you have stood beside me and loved me through some really difficult times in my life. During the Capitol campaign, I lost both of my grandmothers within 8 hours of each other. I was able to attend these funerals, and you were there and supported me with kind words, hugs, and love that made it possible for me to grieve and celebrate these lives, even though my families were sometimes hurtful and rejecting. When Ron and I separated for a period of time, you allowed me to step back from my responsibility here at the church and find healing and restoration that resulted in our relationship being restored to the point that we are now engaged to be married. This church is one of the most amazing places I have ever encountered, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this body. Today, this year, I'm completing my second presidential rotation. I'm so grateful for all that you have allowed me to do and learn. I'm excited for this new chapter in the life of this church. We have a pastor that is passionate and talented and called. Thank you, Pastor Kayla, for your vision and love for this church. I don't know what the future holds for Church of the Open Arms, but I do believe that there are great things in store. It will take each and every one of us to see that future realized. I know that I plan to be a part of that future. I hope that you are planning to be also. May it be so.